Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday, September the 7th. We've heard for a long time about Christianity moving south. And if you look at it demographically, you can see Christianity, if you look at the globe of our planet, you can see that Christianity is moving south. It was primarily a north thing, a northern hemisphere thing. Then it's moving south. And the shape of Christianity in the southern hemisphere is quite different than the shape of, you could call it, old Christianity in the northern hemisphere. And many believe that the new influence comes from the south as well. But it highlights a simple fact that Christianity is now global, which we should expect as Christians. This is the intent of our Savior, his command and his promise, that repentance and the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all nations. Where it began is in Jerusalem. Where it ends is the farthest ends of the earth. So what are we looking at now in global Christianity, and what is the role that American Christianity plays in all of that? Significant? Insignificant? Just a page in Christianity's long history? Joining us to talk about global Christianity, Dr. Mark Knoll. He's professor of history at the University of Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana. He's author of several books, including his latest titled The New Shape of World Christianity, How American Experience Reflects Global Faith. Dr. Knoll, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. I'm glad to be with you today.
In all of your research, especially for this book and your long and storied career in looking at Christianity, especially in the American context, what surprised you most about world Christianity?
I think there would be two things. The first would be the simple scale of change over the course of the 20th century. Think about a situation, for example, in which in 1900, something like 80% of the world's identifiable Christian believers are in Europe and North America. Now, maybe half. In the 1960s and 70s, there were very, very few legally open churches in China, and for a while, none. Today, last Sunday, it's possible there were more people in China who went to church than in all of so-called Christian Europe. So the dramatic speed of the 20th century changes in Christianity have been very impressive. But then the second thing I think I'd say is the nature, as you more or less alluded to in your opening remarks, the nature of the Christian churches that are, in some cases, multiplying so rapidly in places in the world where there did not used to be Christian churches. These new churches don't exactly fit into most of the categories that we have become accustomed to in studying church history coming out of Europe and North America. And I don't think there's any one thing you can say about them, but except that the new forms of Christian faith adapt themselves to the environments where they are found.
If an alien came from space and was doing a religious survey of our planet, I speak here, of course, tongue-in-cheek, but if this were to happen and kind of just look at the face of the average Christian on our planet, I suspect he would not say it was a white European face.
No, in fact, a very nice general summary of recent changes was done by Professor Dana Robert of Boston University a few years ago, in which she made the statement that if you want to find the typical Christian in the world today, it's going to be a young woman from Latin America. Which of course was exaggeration and simplification, but made I think a very effective point.
What place does the American church, or let's broaden it from that, the old Western church, we can now refer to it as, what place does it occupy in global Christianity?
Well, this is the issue that I was mostly concerned with in the book, and I was trying to argue against two sort of equal mistakes, and I think the equal mistakes are that out of the West comes a strong guidance and direction for the churches around the world, and it's really a problem. And the other view is just the opposite. Out of the West comes strong direction, and that's a pretty good thing. My own sense is that the old churches, as you put it, and that's, I think, quite a nice designation, the old churches do, in fact, have considerable influence. Money still flows from the North to the South. Electronic Christian media come from the North. There's all sorts of educational opportunities provided in the old Christian world for the young Christian churches. But this influence is limited, and I think that in my research, what struck me most was that many of the newer churches around the world are following a pattern like the churches in the United States followed. The big change coming from Europe to the United States was that religion in the United States was going to be voluntary. It was not going to be formally attached to the state. It was not going to be a formal part of the civilization in its orders, but would be an activity from below. And this has been the characteristic of almost all the churches in the newer parts of the world where Christian faith has developed, whether they're Catholic or Lutheran or Presbyterian or Pentecostal or independent. It's been the form of church life in America that's been, I think, more important than direct influence of churches in America.
Are we living in a post-denominational age?
Well, that too is a good question, and I think the answer would differ quite dramatically from where you were in the world. I'm aware, for example, of very strong Reformed churches in the southern part of Africa. I'm aware of a very, very strong Anglican churches in different parts of Africa and Asia, very strong Lutheran churches in Tanzania, where denominations connected to the West continue to have a major function. But there's also vast areas of the non-Western world where it's very hard to see traditional denominations playing a major role. So much of the house church movement in China is very difficult to categorize denominationally. Much of the charismatic and Pentecostal renewal movements in Latin America, some within the Catholic Church, mostly outside the Catholic Church, these don't look even like traditional Pentecostal denominations from in North America. And then in Africa, you have the phenomenon of dozens, probably hundreds, of what are called AICs, African Independent Churches, that recognize the role of the Holy Spirit in the Book of Acts and then the founder of their particular group. And they have no recognizable or very little recognizable contact with the traditional denomination. So is this a post-denominational world? Yes and no.
Okay, then let's talk about, I do want to talk about kind of a little bit of the past as prologue, because Western Europe has kind of emptied out for
right.
the most part. I mean, we're even talking now about an Islamization of Western
right.
Europe, going from being, and there are people who seriously contemplate a future of Western Europe as predominantly, at least in religious terms, Islamic rather than Christian, self-professed, according to their population. Do you think that that's a real possibility?
Well, historians are notoriously lousy prophets about the future, but nonetheless, it's an excellent question. And I think I would say that I don't agree fully with these predictions. There's certainly something to them, and certainly Europe will have to learn to live with larger Muslim populations and larger Muslim religious practices and institutions. My own sense, however, is that the Christian churches, this would include the Catholics and all varieties of Protestants, have begun to move in a direction addressing post-Christian Europe. Now, I think it's very difficult to do just because the stake of the major churches, the Reformed, the Lutheran, the Catholic churches, the Anglican Church, just because their stake is so great in the what we might call the infrastructure of civilization. The church buildings, the art, the architecture, the committees that have a long and honored history of mediating between church and state. There's a huge Christian investment in Christendom. But there's also, I think, a growing awareness in the Christian churches across the board that reliance upon the structures of the past is not what is primarily needed for the imperative Christian needs of the present. So I just without really paying too much attention, I've found things. I mean, I'm aware of things like the Alpha Program coming out of an Anglican church in England. I'm aware of Pope Benedict's description of what he's called a new monasticism that he thinks will be effective in Europe. I'm talking to people who are involved with the Evangelische Kirche in Deutschland, the German Lutheran Church, of several new initiatives that move out from traditional ways of doing things in the churches to newer ways of addressing a post-church population. It's going to take Europe, I think, more of a struggle to break away from the traditions of the past, just because those traditions have been so strong and in many ways so good, in many ways useful. But I think it's happening, and I'm not exactly optimistic about the future of Christianity in Europe, but I can see ways in which the faith that adapted to have such a powerful impact on Europe can adapt again to meet the current needs of the hour.
We're talking with Dr. Mark Knoll about the shape of global Christianity. He is professor of history at the University of Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana, author of several books. His latest is titled The New Shape of World Christianity, How American Experience Reflects Global Faith. You can read an excerpt of the book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click on demand and look for The New Shape of Christianity by our guest, Dr. Mark Knoll. When we come back from this break, we cannot talk about world Christianity without talking about, well, half of all world Christians, the Roman Catholic Church. Talk about an institution. One wonders what the shape of Roman Catholicism, with its notorious structure. I mean, it is, in many ways, its identity is indistinguishable sometimes from the structure that it has. What will it look like 100 years, 200 years from now? We'll talk about Roman Catholicism in the context of world Christianity with Dr. Mark Knoll after this.
This is not like your normal study Bible.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Will Wheaton, on the new Lutheran Study Bible.
The wisdom of the church in meditating on the Word of God across the ages is supplied throughout the notes. There are citations from the Lutheran fathers, from the early church fathers. There are any wise, good thing that's been said on the basis of some text of the Bible, they've stuck it in there. It's got prayers, not just about an academic learning. What does this mean? The Bible is replete with these little devotional meditations. It gives you help in witnessing. How can you use this particular teaching from God's Word to bring others to Christ, to help them come to know what He's done for them? It's got great pictures. Well, you can tell I'm excited about it. And I was one who was said to be jaundiced and not appreciative of it.
You can purchase the new Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our homepage, issuesetc.org, the Lutheran Study Bible.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org and click on-demand audio.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our community, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about world Christianity with Dr. Mark Knoll. Dr. Knoll, I said before the break that at least historically, the Roman Catholic Church is almost indistinguishable from its structure. It is in many ways. It's hierarchy, it's magistrate. And I wonder if that structure is flexible enough, in your opinion, to deal with global Christianity. It has stood the test of time, and it's almost like a building that no one can knock down.
Right. Awfully good question, better than I can provide answers. Certainly, tremendous variety exists within the Catholic Church. I've told the people in class for some time that what Protestants do when they have serious disagreements is to start up new Protestant churches. What Catholics do when they have serious disagreements is to start up new religious orders that stay within the Catholic Church. So I think a Protestant looking from the outside into Catholicism would see some elements that are nominal, some elements that are very serious, some that would be sort of promoting the social gospel, some that would be classically Christian. There, I'm aware of several groups around the world, in fact, within the Catholic Church that use the term evangelical for themselves and mean something very close to the way that term has been used in Protestant circles. Catholic Church, along with the Southern Baptist Convention, is the largest purveyor around the world of the Jesus films. And there are Catholic churches in North America and in other parts of the world that make full use of the Alpha program. So to say any one thing means you're going to get it wrong. But the question that you ask about the flexibility for the future is a pressing one. My own sense is that the modern electronic age allows much more variety to be observed and even controlled than in the older days of the church, when there may have been fewer people but much slower communication. My studies of American history and Canadian history, you know, sometimes things take 2 or 3 years for a message to get to the Vatican and back. And of course, today it's just with a flick of the internet apparatus. Will it be able to adjust? My larger concern as a Christian person is, will there be a magnification of Christ and the work of Christ? My own opinion, prejudice, conviction, is that the last two popes have been actually quite remarkable as generic Christian spokesmen as well as leaders of the Catholic Church. Now, as leaders of the Catholic Church, you can say they've done some things well, maybe some things not so well. In terms of what John Paul II and Benedict XVI have said, have published, they have been, I think, valuable worldwide voices, notable voices for at least one variety of biblical Christ-centered Christianity.
One of my concerns about global Christianity, especially as it's moved south, is it has, you mentioned before, it has been predominantly Pentecostal.
Right.
It has been extremely revivalistic, I mean, beyond the wildest imaginations of the early American revivalists. And I wonder, what should those churches there note in American history to avoid the many errors of American evangelicalism?
Well, I hope myself that people from around the world will actually pay attention to particularly American history, because they find, many of them find themselves in the kind of unregulated free market of religion that developed in the United States. In our situation, I think there rose up forms of the Christian gospel that were overly reliant upon what people did themselves, simply because we had an environment where there was a lot of space to do things for yourself. I think that what ideally would come from observing American experience is the need to balance the different aspects of the Christian faith. Right now, Pentecostalism flourishes because it offers an unmediated experience of God for people, often, who are in desperate family, economic, social circumstances. Much of the great growth of Pentecostal movements around the world is taking place in people who are coming out of rural areas into cities, coming out of local establishments into areas of great possibilities for economic advance, but also great possibilities for economic decline. And in a shaken up world, the Pentecostal message is that the Holy Spirit can be in your heart and speak to you directly. As time moves on, as children are born, as institutions are built, as the need for education develops, I'm hoping and praying that there will be not a loss of vitality, but a kind of sober attention to the scriptures, a sober attention to the best of Western Christian tradition that will provide the balance for this kind of vitality that is so interesting and remarkable and scary all at the same time.
Regarding mission work, I'm not an expert in this in any sense, but I've always kind of looked at the church's mission as the mission abhors a vacuum. Where Christ has not been preached, that's where the missionaries have tended to flock over time. I mean, it's just a kind of a natural thing. And I wonder, where does the relative vacuum exist today on our planet, where mission work ought to concentrate itself?
Well, I think that what I have heard, and again, no expert on missiology, is that the most difficult places for the Christian gospel to come are those where there are still Christendom-like restrictions against Christians. So in some Muslim parts of the world, in some areas of the world where there's still are tighter controls of government, then there is more difficulty. I think actually what has begun to take place, however, in the new shape of world Christianity is that mission strategy is also becoming worldwide. So we live in a situation now where still more than half the people you designate as missionaries in the world come from the United States, but that proportion is down from what had been three quarters 30 and 40 years ago. Something like 14 or 15,000 Koreans, about the same number of Brazilians, maybe about the same number of Nigerians, now are active in cross-cultural missionary work. Many people from the Philippines the same way. So what I think is happening with the missionary type of questions that you asked, the good questions that you posed, is that they're going to be answered not so much by those of us in the West with more tradition and some more wealth and more experience, but actually also answered by the very groups that are expanding so rapidly in the localities of the world.
With only 30 seconds here, is global Christianity also marked by increased persecution, especially 21st century? About 30 seconds here.
It certainly is a growing feature, especially where new Christians butt up against very strong traditions. But it's also the case that there's a danger in some of the newer Christian areas to be persecutors themselves, and that too is a European kind of phenomenon. My prayer is that the churches will be able to advance peacefully and that they will be themselves instruments of the Prince of Peace in their work.
Dr. Mark Knowles, professor of history at the University of Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana. He's author of several books, including his latest, titled The New Shape of World Christianity, How American Experience Reflects Global Faith. Thank you very much, Dr. Knoll.
You're welcome.
Folks, you can help support Issues Etc., talk radio for the thinking Christian, by making a tax-deductible gift. You can make a secure online donation at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Here's the address again, LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll have Greg Kokel answer the question, was Jesus a mythical figure? I, in fact, just read someone. It was online. You read all sorts of things online. Someone saying, don't you people know that Jesus is a myth? Look at the history. You'll find out he never existed. Boy, it's been a long time since I've heard that assertion. So we'll see what Greg Kokel has to say tomorrow on Issues Etc. We must understand the expanse of Christianity, not according to human demographics. That is very instructive. But then we tend to think, well, what kind of a strategy, what kind of clever marketing, what kind of a program can we develop to best suit ourselves, our message, to the current situation? Now, in a human sense, those things may be well necessary, but that is not the answer to the question, what is the future of Christianity? How do we best carry the message that is the mission of Christ and his cross to a world where fewer and fewer people have not heard this and where the mission work becomes increasingly more difficult the longer it goes on? The answer isn't in marketing. The answer isn't throwing more money at the situation, but to trust the promise. You see, this is Christ's mission and Christ's church. And his church exists not only at its inception, but even today, solely upon the power of Christ's promise. And consider for a moment the scope of that promise and its fulfillment, even in our day. It may be another 1,000 years before Christ returns, and the promise will continue to its fulfillment. It is Christ's promise that he would go with his disciples, however they may be, however many they may be, with this message of repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. And he himself, through his church, would carry this message of salvation, of Christ crucified for a world of sinners. Christ's salvation is global. His plan is global. And it has been from the beginning. He will carry this message through his church to the whole world. And we're watching it happen. Christ is good on his promise. I'm Todd Wilkin. Have a great Labor Day. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.